Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Lord, in prayer as we get into worship this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and just worship you. Lord, may our hearts and minds be tuned into you this morning. May we grow in relationship with you. Lord, may we just block out all the things in life and focus on you. Lord, we thank you for our offerings. May we use it to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Let's stand.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that there is joy in the house of the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for everyone that is here and their willingness to get into the mud and muck of life. Lord, I ask this morning that you hear our prayers as we lift up these people by name who are walking around this world without knowing you. Father, that you just move in their hearts and their minds. Because, Lord, that we know there's no one else who saves but you. There's no one else who restores lives but you. Lord, we give them over to you this morning. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to give joy to the Lord this morning.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I will praise the Lord. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I will praise the Lord.
Praise Him. As we sing this next song, just remember whatever you're going through, just bring it to Jesus, and He will fight your battle. In the middle of the storm, simply say hallelujah.
Thank you.
no matter what we're going through. Facing you.
Raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Why don't we lift our hands there? Just praise our Lord.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. Come on, sing it out.
And I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name.
Amen. You may be seated. And just in case, I brought the other mic. Good morning, church. At this time, what I want to do is I want to dismiss the three-year-olds through third grade to find Miss Ann back here as they prepare to head on down for Children's Church. For those of you who are new with us, first Sunday of every month, we have a Children's Church service. So, I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I also want to welcome our guests and those that are joining us online and on the radio. We are so thankful that you could be here this morning. There's a couple things real quick. I want to take a moment and I want to pray for someone. The ambulance just showed up. I can't release a name, but we just want to praise God. We have people here at the church who know how to handle these situations. So let's just take a moment and lift that family up in prayers right now and with the crews that are taking care of that, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, you know the person. You know the situation. Lord, we just ask for a hedge of protection around him. Father, we pray for peace and comfort. Lord, we ask that you are with the EMTs right now as they're taking care of this. Father, as they travel and as they do their thing, may they just have the wisdom and the knowledge. Father, be with the doctors and the nurses. Lord, may they just have peace through the entire situation. We turn this over to you. And Lord, as we prepare to go into the message this morning, we ask that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this morning we're going to finish up John chapter 6 in our Life of Christ series. It's one we've been on for a couple weeks. And I know over the last couple of weeks, I have found these passages to be extremely challenging. Not only to write the messages, but just what the message was saying. I found it all to be a challenge. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've seen Jesus using metaphors of him being the bread of life and challenging those around him to a new way of thinking, challenging us to rethink. You know, the crowd around Jesus was looking to him for what he could provide them. They came looking to see if they could get more food from Jesus, to hear what he would say next. And Jesus, understanding their heart and mind, began using that metaphor of the bread of life to explain who he was. And when he used that metaphor of the bread, this is something that truly intrigued everyone around him. And yet many didn't understand what Jesus was saying. You know, Jesus began to tell anyone that would come to him will never be hungry. Anyone who believes in him will never be thirsty again. Yet this challenged them because in their minds, what Jesus was talking about, they thought of in the physical sense. And Jesus was speaking of spiritual things inside of this moment. You know, each and every one of us can become spiritually hungry throughout our lives. In fact, every man, woman, and child become spiritually hungry. And it's not a one and done type of situation. We can become spiritually hungry often in our walk in this life. The problem is that we often look to the world to feed this hunger. And we fill it with things that don't actually offer anything. We look to things of this world to find our peace, our joy, our fulfillment, and even our purpose in life. Believing that if we have just the right combination, that we'll finally find everything. Yet Jesus talks about inside of this passage that he is the only one that can fill that need in our life. He is the only one that can sustain us. He talks about the fact if we believe in him, if we eat of the bread of life, that we also get to have eternal life. He reminds us that it's only through him that we get eternal life. And the people around Jesus didn't like what he was saying. In fact, it told us in the scriptures that they argued among themselves about how could Jesus say such things? How could he do that? But he reminded them that those that eat of his flesh and drink of his blood have eternal life. And Jesus wasn't talking about communion. Communion is something we do as a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross. What he was talking about is unless we take on his life, unless we allow him to reign inside of us and allow him to be part of us, that we cannot have eternal life. That life is more than just about the physical things. It's more than just about food. It's more than just about our jobs. It's about doing what God has called us to do. It's about being in relationship with our Heavenly Father and allowing him to lead the way in our lives. Even when it causes us to turn back on things of this world and doing what the world says is crazy. Understanding that God's way is always going to be better. Even when it doesn't make sense at first. Understanding that God's way will always be better. And this is not always an easy concept to accept. This is not always easy for us to understand. And this is not a message that we always want to hear. We don't always like to hear this message. This is no different than when Jesus himself walked this earth and taught this message. The message this morning is entitled, Should I Stay or Should I Go? And yes, that song was stuck in my head all week. The passage that we're going to be looking at is going to be in John chapter 6, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week, verses 60 through 71 for anyone that wants to follow along. And we're going to read through it before we break it down. And it says, therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. So Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus replied to them, didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. That's a loaded passage. There's a whole lot inside of this passage this morning. We're seeing people saying no to Jesus and walking away. We're seeing people saying the cost is too high of what Jesus is asking of us and that they can't do it. So they pack up their things and they leave. This is not a message that many of us want to hear or see. Yet we're seeing others stick around and looking to Jesus for their hope, their peace, and their joy in life. You know, I still remember when I first believed. I still remember the moment that Jesus became real in my life. I remember where I was at. I remember what I was doing. And I remember how he changed everything inside of my life, inside of that moment. You see, I've been searching the world high and low for what I believe would bring me joy, for what I believe would bring me happiness and fulfillment in my life. Yet no matter how hard I searched, everything seemed empty at the end. Nothing brought about that true joy that I was looking for. And I often felt alone. And that's strange to think too, because I had family and friends that loved me. And yet I felt alone. I had friends that would do stuff with me. I had a good social life. Yet I still felt alone. But the day that Jesus came into my life, I understood the words of the disciples when they said, Lord, to whom will we go? I'm sure many of you in here remember the day that Jesus became real in your life. You remember the day that he changed everything. The day that you understood the hope that is found in our Savior. For some of you here today, you may not have found Jesus yet. For some of you here today, you may be searching for who God is. Maybe trying to understand who it is. And I want you to know that's okay, and I'm so thankful that you're here. I'm glad that you still came out today as you try to figure out this thing we call life. Now, when I say everything changed the day I said yes to Jesus, I don't mean that I didn't still have struggles. I want to be clear about this. I don't mean that my life suddenly became perfect and everything was easy. That's not what I mean. No, what I mean, you know, before I came to Jesus, my life was stuck in the mud and the muck of life. I was down in the pits, and I saw absolutely no way out. Everything I tried to do just dug me deeper and deeper into that pit, deeper and deeper into that hole. But the day I said yes to Jesus, I figured out I was no longer stuck on my own, that I had somebody else that got down into the pits with me and started giving me a hand out. I had someone there that walked beside me, that encouraged me, who gave me hope that I had never felt before, gave me peace that I'd never experienced before, and gave me a purpose I had never had before. The day I said yes to Jesus, everything changed. I viewed the world in a whole new lens. I saw things differently. I no longer feared what the world would throw at me. I no longer worried what tomorrow would bring, because I knew that as long as I walked with Jesus, I had nothing to fear, and he would guide each one of those steps. Now, if you notice something, I didn't say that I suddenly had a ton of money. I didn't say that all the problems of the world were gone from my life. I didn't say that I didn't still have struggles that came about because of the fallen world we live in. I still laughed, I still cried, I still face challenges each and every day, just like everyone else does. But here's the thing, I no longer face those things alone. And I understood where my hope came from. It wasn't based on the world. It was based on my Savior. You know, there's many people that were there when Jesus was walking along. There's many people that were following him around. They were listening to his messages in the synagogue. There was many people constantly with Jesus, but they were looking for Jesus to see what they could get from Jesus. They heard his teachings and how it's not supposed to be their life anymore. Instead, they're called to surrender their life to Jesus. And when they heard this, that they're called to remain in him, that he's the one who gives them everlasting life, when he challenged what they were doing and their way of life, and they realized everything would change, they could not accept what Jesus was saying. They said it was too much. In fact, it tells us in verse 60, where we started off this morning, therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? If you notice, he used the word disciple in this moment. And when he uses the word disciple, he's not talking about the 12. He's talking about the large crowd that followed Jesus everywhere he went. These were people that had followed him for a long time. And they had just heard Jesus speak about what he wants from them. And they were saying, this is too hard. Who could do this? Who could bear this? You know, there's people who hear the gospel message. There's many people who look into Jesus even in the lives around us, who find themselves in areas where they're starting to pursue Jesus. But ultimately, they get to themselves and they say, I can't do this. They're saying, I don't want to surrender my life. I don't want to do it this way. I want to do it my own way. The cost is too great. My way is better, is what they often say. So they walk away. Or they'll say, I want Jesus in this part of my life, but this part of my life, I want to keep it for myself because I want to do life my own way. I don't want to have to follow and do what he says because it sounds too hard. I like this part. I know it's going to lead me down a path I don't want, but I'm going to go ahead and I want to keep this to myself. But Jesus is saying, I want everything. I want all of you because I love you, because I made you, and I want that relationship with you. When the people walked away, it tells us in verse 61, Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, does this offend you? Jesus knew what was going on with the crowd. He understood where the hearts of the people were. And he just point blank asked them, does this offend you? Does my teaching offend you? Does everything I have said offend you? You see, they were looking to Jesus for all the wrong reasons. They were looking to Jesus to fulfill what their flesh desires were. They were looking to Jesus for what he could give them in the physical sense, not in the spiritual. They were not looking to Jesus to be transformed. They were not looking to Jesus for their hope that he gives. And because they were searching for Jesus for all the wrong reasons, when they heard his teaching, many were offended because he wasn't backing up what they wanted him to say. Isn't that so often in our world? We have this perspective of Jesus, of who we want him to be, and we go to the scriptures and we hear what the gospel says, and we get offended because it doesn't line up with what we want God to say. You know, the Bible says the gospel itself is offensive to the world. It calls us to live a new life. It calls us to walk away from the sin and allow Christ to reign in our hearts. And many in the world do not want to hear that message. We've gotten to the point in our world where evil is called good and good is called evil. And until someone is ready to turn their life over to Christ, nothing you say or do will change that. Jesus himself said in verse 62, then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Jesus is pointing that out, that even if they saw him return to heaven in front of their eyes, they still would not believe. They would still make up excuses on why they should walk away because they were not ready to hear what he had to say. You see, many people were searching for Jesus and following him around again for all the wrong reasons. Some of them were looking to him, hoping that he would form this political party. Some were hoping that he would lead a revolt against Rome. And others enjoyed the theological conversations, which I have to admit, I would enjoy those conversations with Jesus myself. Kind of a nerd there. Plus everything else they hope to get from Jesus. You know, there are people today, there's different things that draw people to Jesus. There's different things and moments in our lives where people begin to explore who this Jesus is. But at some point, we have to make a decision to either say yes or no to Jesus. It's not something where we get to straddle the fence. Instead, we have to either say yes or no. And a no answer, an answer without a word, let's go that way, is a no. We have to make the decision on should I stay or should I go. Is Jesus going to be enough for me? Are we going to eat from the bread of life? You know, even if you start searching for Jesus for the wrong reasons, but are you willing to allow him to transform our hearts and minds to follow after him for the right reasons? Are we going to listen to that still small voice that is calling us, each and every one of us? But so many people refuse to open their hearts and minds to what Jesus has to say. Jesus even says in verse 63, the Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. When we live by the flesh, we die by the flesh. When we live by the Spirit, we gain everlasting life. If we spend our entire life trying to memorize a bunch of rules, if that's what we try to do in our lives is just remember all the rules and stuff that we believe we have to follow, if we spend our entire life believing that if we just go to the right church, like that church right there, that's the perfect church, that's where I need to go. By the way, there is no such thing. If you find a perfect church, feel free to remove yourself because it's not going to be perfect the moment you walk into it, okay? I'm just throwing that out there. I fall into that exact same category. There is no perfect church. But we have this idea that if we just remember the right rules and if we go to that right church and everything and we spend our entire life trying to be perfect, but we don't actually have Christ within us, we have gained nothing. You see, it's not about following a bunch of rules. It's not about making sure that we're perfect and doing everything right. It's about having a relationship with our Savior and what he came to do on that cross. That's what it's about, and allowing him to transform us from the inside out. I remember one of my friends one time when he was trying to come to Jesus, he kept talking about how he had all these areas of life that he had to clean up before he could come to Jesus. But the truth is, folks, it's not about cleaning all that up. It's about coming to him right here, right now. I don't care where your life is at. I don't care what struggles you're facing at this moment. Jesus still wants you, and he wants that relationship with you. It's not just about following the rules and going to the right church. It's about a relationship with our Heavenly Father and taking that free gift that was given to us, that salvation that was given to us 2,000 years ago on that cross. But there will always be some who choose to say no, no matter how good the offer is. Know how wonderful it is. And it's not that they choose not to believe. It's simply they choose to say no. Because we know within us there is a God. But it's our decision on do we say yes or no. Jesus says in verse 64 and 65 where it says, but there are some among you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and the ones who would betray him. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. I want you to pay attention to this particular passage this morning. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is actually saved. Not everyone that goes to church is actually in a relationship with our Heavenly Father. I know that is not a popular thing to say. That is not something that often makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside, is it? And no, I am not the one who figures out who is who. Praise God for that. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7 that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, there are people that use religion. They use the name of God to try to get what they want. There are people who use the name of Jesus to try to deceive others. There are people who use the name of Jesus to hurt others. But let me be clear, they do not represent who God is. But too often the world has a hard time seeing the difference. Because for some reason, us as Christians often seem to dim our lights. Often we will find these people are also the ones that are not willing. One of the ways that I can often tell the difference between someone who truly believes what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing is that they show the gifts of the spirits within them. They have joy, peace, love, kindness within them. Also on top of that, these are often the people that when they see somebody hurting, they're willing to get down into the pits with them and help the person out and point them back to Jesus. They're not just about having the shiny steeples around them. They're not just about having everything be perfect looking in their life. They're willing to say, guess what? I'm broken too, but I know someone that can put you back together. Let me show you Jesus. Those are the Christians. That is what we're called to do as followers of Christ. Not just sit inside of a church pew on a Sunday morning. Not just have our little couple times where we may pray in public to make sure everybody can hear us. No, it's about those of us who are willing to get into the pits with whoever is struggling in life and be that hands and feet of Jesus and bring glory to our Savior up above, knowing that we are his representatives here on earth. So often, They try to use Jesus to make themselves look better, to make themselves feel better, and to justify their own actions and words. To use Jesus to spread hate. And Jesus challenged them in this moment. When Jesus challenged them on, when he tells us in verse 66, when he challenged them, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. You see, this idea of having a surrendered life, this idea of giving everything we had to God, this idea of allowing Christ to indwell us was too much for them. The fact that Jesus was saying, hey, I'm not going to let you use me for what you want to use me for, but hey, I want you to come into relationship with me. I'm going to transform you from the inside out. They're going, wait, hold on, time out. That's not what I want. I just want you to tell me what I want to hear. I want you to do what I want to do. And Jesus saying, no, that's not how it works. And this was too much, so they walked away. You know, Jesus says that we are called to pick up our cross daily and follow him. It's not an easy thing to do, is it? It sounds challenging, picking up our cross. He tells us in Galatians 5:24, now those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What the Bible is saying in this passage is it's no longer about us. That when we come to Jesus and we allow him to transform us from the inside out, it's not about us anymore. It's all about letting Jesus reign. We have crucified the flesh. That means those things that the flesh did and the flesh desired, we no longer do. Instead, we seek after what Jesus has for us. We seek after what he wants us to do in life because he's the one who is in charge. It's about being the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us. It's about being willing to say no to things that the world asks of us because we know it doesn't bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Even if it means changing how we're living our lives. Remember in Galatians 2:20, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our lives are now about the one who loved me enough to go to the cross and die for me. And for some people, that price is too high. So they walk away. They walk away from that gift that God has offered us. They walk away from everlasting life. And let me tell you, when someone says no to Jesus, it breaks my heart. But the thing that almost breaks my heart more is those are those people who think that they're saved but are walking in darkness. People who think because they've done some good things in their life that they're all good to go, but they don't know the one who's the giver of life. The ones that have been deceived to believe that. It really breaks my heart when people choose to turn their backs on who God is. The creator of the universe. The one who put everything into motion. But God loved us enough that he gave us the ability to choose. He gave us the right to choose. If you choose to follow Jesus this morning, I'm not going to tell you that your life is going to go perfectly. I'm not here to tell you that you're suddenly going to have wealth and fame, popularity, and everything else in the world says that you need to be happy. But I will tell you that if you choose Jesus this morning, if you're someone who's not chosen Jesus before in your life, if you choose him, I promise you, you will have peace that is beyond anything you've ever experienced. You will experience joy like you've never experienced joy before. We have to remember, broad is the road that leads to destruction and narrow is the one that leads to life. And the narrow road is rarely chosen. And after so many had left, Jesus asked his 12 disciples in verse 67. See, Jesus said to the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? And they responded amazingly in 68 and 69. And it says, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter was saying inside of this moment that if we believe and we know you are the Holy One of God, you are the one that was foretold that would come, there is no other place than we would rather be than in your presence. We have to remember we are called to give God everything we have when we follow him. Choosing Jesus is not just a one and done situation. It's about giving our lives to him to be his hands and feet here on earth, to be willing to get down into the mud and the muck of the lives of the people around us, being willing to be a light inside of our community, in our family, with our friends, and everybody we run into. Remembering that we are called to serve both the sinner and the saint. Not just those that look like us, talk like us, and act like us. But we're called to serve each and every person. Because everybody, the sinner and the saint, is made in the image of God. And each one is valuable to him. And each one gets to make their own choice. The passage wraps up in verses 70 to 71. It says, Jesus replied to them, "Didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. You see, Judas had to make a choice. Judas had been there for every single thing that Jesus had done. He had watched him walk on water. He had watched him turn water to wine. He had watched him do so many miracles, healing the sick, restoring eyesight, restoring deafness. But Judas made a decision. He decided it wasn't worth it. And he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Because he looked at what the world had to offer and thought that was better than what Jesus was doing. Because Jesus didn't fit the mold of what he had hoped for. It's all about a choice. One that you have to ask yourself. Should I stay or should I go? Do I follow Jesus or do I follow the world? That is a question that no one can answer but you. Your parents can't answer that. Your grandparents, your spouse. No one can answer that question but you. The question this week is, who will you serve? And I can tell you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, we all have choices that we have to make in our lives. We all have many decisions, but there's one choice that is more important than any other, and it's if we will follow you. This morning, as we're praying, I'm not going to ask you to stand up, I'm not ask you to walk up, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you haven't said yes to Jesus yet, I want to challenge you to make that choice here today. I want to challenge you to consider what he is offering. Because he loves you and he desires a relationship with you. And you simply need to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Come into my life and make me new again. I accept that free gift of salvation that was paid for on that cross." Amen. And if you've said yes to Jesus this morning, tell somebody. Either the person sitting next to you or around you. If you need a Bible, if you need the next steps, come talk to us. Saying yes to Jesus isn't a one-time thing. It's about transforming your life and continuously walking with him in all that you do. Have a great day.
Step down into darkness.
Bless you, may he keep you, and may he make his face shine upon you, and may he give you rest this week. As you go out, remember to be the hands and feet of Jesus, remembering we're called to be the light to everyone we meet, no matter where they're at in life, so that they too may know the goodness of God. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.